comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to SpiritWorks, the metaphysical and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and we are doing part 13, would you believe, of our program about Gregory's journey in the spirit world. And if you'd like to join us, the number is toll free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. Well, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present BBS radio worldwide, on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, maybe book an Akashic reading, or buy one of our CDs, please go and visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again when Gregory Hay, the spirit communicator, leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either. But then that's my job, and that's the way of it. So, and it's the way it's kind of always been. Sometimes, though, I will remember little bits of it, but it's not really necessary. And obviously, it would, if you think about it, it would actually distort the process, because it would mean then that I would be looking for whatever's happening, you know, like for the same result to happen each time. And that's really not what it's about. Okay, well, I'm going to go off now then.
Okay. All right, thanks, Mick. Oh, and by the way, if anybody hears any strange noises, like a train, would you believe, it's because we are actually in the UK for Christmas, so, and we are actually, we have trains at the bottom of the garden here, so... It's quite fun, but they do rattle the house rather when they're going past. Not as bad as when it used to be steam trains though.
No. I can't really imagine that.
Okay. Well, Mick's going to go off now, and then Gregory will come through to speak to us. And Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraints of our human minds. Subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, of course, as well as your continued life after physical death. So, if you would like to join us with a question, as I said before, it's not a personal reading, but it's something the spirit, we all want to know about the spirit world, and Gregory makes it quite plain that he's no different to us, except obviously that he's been learning and gaining all of this knowledge with the group in the spirit world, and it's just a fascinating subject that is very dear to and meaningful to all of us. So if you'd like to ask a question just regarding around about our topic, then the number is free phone in the US, it's 877-876-5227. 727, and Canada is 888-815-9756. And if there is any international callers awake at this time somewhere in the world, it's 001-530-876-3222. Anyway, I do believe we have Gregory here with us now. Hello, Gregory.
What's up and light, my dear friend.
Thank you. So, what have you been up to since the last time we spoke, really, about this? I mean, how did this move on in your life?
Well, my dear friend, what we have, in a sense, been up to is that we have been doing a great deal of healing with loving energy, of course, and really to do with healing those who are passing in such a great deal of fear. This is usually to do with fear brought about by the intransigence of certain religious views and values. Obviously, these thoughts and feelings bring about a great deal of apprehension in the minds of those who suffer from such a fate.
So basically, you're still doing the similar things to how you started the whole, the reason why you started the White Cloud Group in the first place.
Absolutely so, my friend, because originally, of course, the White Cloud Group is really about information and factual knowledge and understanding with insights into the spirit world and the complete state of continuation that exists for those in the spirit world. It is to say that there are many situations which we understand that many people in physical life fail to achieve understanding in, quite simply because there are many situations afoot where people in the physical life do not really see how it can be that life can be so forgiving when it is so unforgiving in physical life. So it's very forgiving in the spirit world. But of course that's something which takes a great deal of responsiveness on the part of the spirit and in actually achieving some kind of guidance and responsibility. Yes, I suppose really a sense of responsibility about their journey. We in this White Cloud Group, of course, are actually aimed at trying to bring some understanding in a very factual and unbiased way. But we observe that many in the physical light of day use religion or various swings of their own thoughts in order to come to try to bring themselves abreast with some sort of conclusion. We do not see this as a verifiable way, though. I suppose what I'm really trying to say here is that many people will reach to the heavens, perhaps, to try to find answers, and yet will blindly ignore many of the answers which plainly exist, quite simply because they don't actually fit their own religious understanding. And that, obviously, brings many great difficulties.
Okay, well, we very often miss what's right in front of our noses, and very often it's a very simple situation that we try to complicate, don't we, a lot of the time in many ways.
Yes, after all, the spirit world is not over there. That's the first complete misconception. The spirit world is not somewhere up there. Heaven isn't up there. It's not up anywhere. And hell is not down anywhere, either.
Okay. Well, let's get back to your journey. Last week we were talking about when you met Mick and about, you also touched on some of the development that he had to do and how his breathing had to be controlled and that sort of thing, and all of the different people that came to work with him and that sort of thing before you could actually safely work with him.
Yes, that doesn't mean to say, of course, that this was brought about because I'm some kind of coward. But but in actual fact, of course, this had to be brought about very carefully because he didn't really, thankfully, know what he was doing in as much that all he really had to do was let go. Now that, for we understand, for many physical people, is something that's very hard to do. It may well be for many groups as to why the reason is that children are so very often used in various forms of development by the spirit world. That is to say, people in the spirit world who perhaps passed as children or who wish to revert back to their childlike status as a memory of their conscious living state. But the reason for this is because this brings about a great deal of innocence within the vibration of the spirit. And then it means to say that that vibration of innocence is something which then may come to you as a male or female physical practitioner wishing to communicate with the spirit world, and it will become then that this is a much quieter and gentler energy, perhaps then something which does not evoke the same kinds of thoughts that normal moral people have. And I say this most carefully because many people in physical life, actually, when they think about it, they actually become quite fearful about the spirit world. We do understand this. It's really because of all of the connotations and the thoughts and feelings that they've already had sent into them by others in their journey, perhaps parents or something like that, you see.
Yes, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realise that children do work in this role with us here. I mean, you know, but it is the same sort of situation as feeling very comfortable about that fact, as if, you know, like people show themselves as angels. It's a similar sort of comforting situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it? Although I have to say, when Mick was developing and he had children trying to speak through him, and it did look quite uncomfortable at times. I remember thinking, oh, blimey, shouldn't they have somebody a little bit more, experienced in this? Because, like you said, you had to control his breathing.
Yes, quite so. That, you see, actually was one of the most difficult things to do. You see, for us, when we are bringing about something which is of such physical importance to your side of life, but also when we're actually having to be able to control physically a physical being from the ether world, that's something which actually brings about a great deal of understanding to do with the organization of how things work in a very practical way to the physical reality. So we have to learn which neurons and which muscle groups of neurological instances of pulses to be able to, to be able to work a finger.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
To be able to actually coil it into the hand and bring it back out again takes a great deal of understanding about the workings of muscle groups and the way in which that is enabled.
So you don't actually sit in Mick's body and are able to use his motor neuron system or whatever, however it is that you would describe that situation. You have to actually mentally think about that.
Well, I would have to say that's a very clever assertion of yours, my dear friend. There is a certain situation that happens between my own consciousness and the very fact that in the case of proximity, we are, I am, should I say, in the proximity of his physical state. I am not in the physical state of life. Understand?
Yes.
I'm still in this different dimension, but what the vortex system has enabled us to achieve is that it means to say that the transition for our dear friend here's spirit and consciousness to move away from his physical state in a very safe environment, ensuring that there is absolute safety to do with his etheric cord, that is the cord that runs between the spirit, his spirit, and his physical state, meeting as it does at the solar plexus. Because of the fact that we have brought about this ingenious mechanical device, which we use in order to make a safe platform, it means to say then that we are actually quite secure in the knowledge that he is safe, He's not just having an out-of-body experience. He's actually been allowed to withdraw completely and to not have any sense or feeling of his physical state. And it's actually in something that's very safe. However, I can, at this time, apply elements of my own consciousness as happened at the time of my own physical reality
mm-hmm.
in 1723.
It's like you can engage that, you can spark that off.
Of course I can, in exactly the same way as many of us on our side of life are able to do within our consciousness setting. That's how our spirit are able to move from one place to another. It's not that it's something of a mechanical device. It's not that we are not actually walking, because we may well wish to assimilate that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
Even though you as physical people may not actually feel that presence or understand that that's actually what we're doing. We may alternatively at times use other variations of device, of energy. This is usually to do with a form of magnetic interference, which is how it is brought about on various forms of mechanical device engineered on your side of life to perhaps bring about a sudden change in temperature or to bring about electromagnetic static forces. We use this it's actually in a sense a byproduct of our presence at times. It's the reason why some people who are physical mediums who are not practicing perhaps as much as they should find themselves that they are at odds with electronic devices in your side of life and that kind of thing. It's simply because of the electromagnetic energy which is around them, around you as a medium, shall we say, and that it is brought about because of the presence of many of those on our side of life who may be present around you. And that in itself, just the presence of having spirit guides who are working with you in that particular team, that can bring about a certain relationship between their presence and the physical world, and so have actual interference with electric lights and that kind of thing.
Okay. What about hard drive?
A very interesting point, my dear friend, and I understand it is a case in point. Yes, it can happen that the interference can come at times into such a state and actually produce great magnetic forces. This is perhaps something well to remember for those of you who are operating most delicate forms of apparatus, in order perhaps to record us, or perhaps in order perhaps to bring about certain situations. Now, it could be said as well that occasionally there may well be situations of negative beings who are present who actually bring this about, because they're wanting to be harmful perhaps to some very positive situation. I understand
mm-hmm.
that you're trying to bring about or produce in physical life.
Okay, so all of these things have to be taken into account. Okay.
Perhaps our dear friends at the controlling centre in your physical life here will take understanding to that.
Mm. Well, I think they probably want a little bit more clarification and information on
that. I understand, yes.
Okay, let's move on to your journey in the spirit world then. So what happened, what can you tell us about the forming of the group or whatever it was that happened after our conversation last week?
Yes, well actually, so as I say, the group really began forming, not upon my passing, but actually was forming way before that, I understand. Even for centuries before that, there had been a certain leaning toward many of those in the spirit world wishing to identify with a certain form of understanding and, shall we say, factual retreat. It was as though many people had, once they had passed to our side of life, had observed the way history was being written, or something like that, or perhaps even to do with the facts of their own life. Thomas a Becket, for example, was someone who had actually been slain upon the altar of life just because of some errant situation of the monarchy at that time. And he actually, even being a priest, was someone who took great umbrage, shall we say, at the situation of his own passing and the ways in which his life story had been altered and changed. Some would say, and he would identify with this as being something that was completely untrue to his physical life. And that many of the situations that he had been accused of doing, which then resulted in his passing, being that he was slain by assassins, sent by the monarchy at that time, just because of his own religious beliefs and his standpoint upon the monarchy's wish to marry who they wished. And this, of course, meant that it, in a sense, brought a great deal of disquiet to the spirit of his making. It meant to say, as such, with many other beings in the spirit world, they began to observe that there was no recourse for those in the spirit world to actually have an addressive state, perhaps be somewhat responsive to their needs and to their continuing understanding that in fact their lives had been so misrepresented. It became, in fact, that many of those in the spirit world decided that they really wanted not to share in the grief of their lives, but actually to find some form of way to try to bring understanding to others.
Okay, so what happened after this situation then, that we ended up last week talking about after you'd met Gregory and who else you met? Or what happened then?
Well, in a sense, as I say, I remember that I had already discussed the situation with White Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happened was that there appeared then to be many thousands of beings who were thinking that they too had in a sense, a form of duty toward the rational thinking without a religious bias. Without a religious predilection,
mm-hmm.
Toward some specific view, and that there had to be some consensus of fact that could be brought about and that could actually help people who had passed to our side of life continue on in their life rather than perhaps waiting in some graveyard or something like that, being in a state of disanimation, if you like. Because after all, many beings were actually told that they were really to just wait until the second coming or something like that, due to their religious understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And other forms of religious understanding also meant that very often they had great difficulty in approaching those icons, those deities, that they had so worshipped. This was true with the Mayans, it was true with many other peoples, Egyptians of course, and various other tribes who existed in that particular region, even though they worshipped sun gods and the rest of it. Remember, it was a very strong sense of hierarchy, and in fact it was only pharaohs who actually got to take the journey in their wicker barge or something like that to the spirit world. It was only they who were enlightened enough or sanctified enough in their physical lives to be able to make that journey. So what of all of the other inherent spirits of that land? What of all of those who suffered, in a sense, and perished in their lives? These people all have identities. These are all spirits too. They need to be recognized as a group, need to have a place within the, not the hierarchy of the spirit world, because that's something which is rather foisted upon us by those in the physical reality, due to the fact of the way in which the caste system evolved. Don't forget, my dear friend, that the caste system originally evolved in the Brahmin state, in the way of the Eastern philosophies. The situation became valued that in order for physical people to keep people in a servile way, because those who had grasped power in the physical sense wanted to obtain it and control it and keep it. How else were they going to maintain their power base? This is something then which happened both in physical life and in the spirit world. At least they tried to. And that's what I'm saying, really. We began observing, really because we were three free-thinking beings, and that we were at one uniting with that energy which is God, at one and uniting with that beautiful and perfected pure course of loving energy that emanates from the creator of all life, that creation of energy which comes in elliptical forms, which comes as pulses, which comes as our pathway of memory, to do with our millions of years, each individually, our millions of years of survival as spirit beings, all to be dashed and meant to nothing once we'd had a human physical life. Does it mean to say then that we're all consigned to this lower vibrational form? As I say many times, we have observed those who entreat the caste system, particularly in the way of reincarnation, because that's what the caste system is an embodiment of, and it's how it is amplified in the physical world, that in order for you to excel or to accelerate your vibration, you would have to have had multiple lives in one specific form or attracted to one specific planet. This then continues to control the caste system, don't you see?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a good point. And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to join us with a question about the spirit world to Gregory, it's a free phone number in the US. It's 877-876-5227, and in Canada, 888-815-9756. Okay, so let's continue our journey with you in the spirit world then, in forming the White Cloud Group.
Yes, so as I say, because of these conditions to do with the caste system that we had been aware of, that happened in our own lives, after all.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that we all felt that we had suffered at the hands of. Quite simply, we had not had a free will experience, or to many intents and personalities, we had not. Because if we had operated within the caste system, of which we had been a part in physical state, that it did not appear to be a part of our lives in the spirit world before we'd had a physical life. It was as though, in a sense, we were stepping backwards. And that would never do.
Well, I'm sure everybody thinks that at some time or other.
Absolutely so, as we continue to observe this. In fact, we see and observe that humanity in the main has not moved forward one jot. There are 6 billion now, whereas in the very early 18th century, there were perhaps 1 million souls at that time upon the planet. Although at other times in human history, there were even more souls than that. But unfortunately, the way in which human beings have accounted for themselves does not bring into account of the fact that there have been physical disasters that have then taken out large numbers of physical human beings in their march of progress.
And this is all something that instilled the enthusiasm and the need to form something like the White Cloud Group.
Yes, absolutely so. So that we could see that there was a way that we could continue to create and learn, and that we could also bring something back, some form of evidence and some form of understanding, to to those in physical life. Yet it appeared to be, in a sense, a very difficult and long and abiding journey, quite simply because we could understand that even though we were trying our very best to bring about conditions within people having and leading their physical lives, and yes, we had not interference of those physical lives as spirit beings, but that we actually enjoyed a certain amount of freedom in the way in which that we could bring influence, gentle and guiding influence, loving influence and interest to those having a physical life. That was not something that detracted from their physical life or their free will experience, but that helped to enhance it. And this too, my dear friends, has always been the way of it. If you observe many lives, as there have been of other indigenous peoples, people who were, shall I say, genuinely understanding of their spiritual value, one, when actually having a physical life, and that what had occurred during their presence was that they had perhaps understood that their ancestors were close to them. Of course they were close to them. They weren't having another reincarnation, because it was not that they were subjugated to such a feudal and such a derogatory system of actually keeping one in one's place. In fact, if you look at many, many cultures within indigenous peoples, you will see and observe, as with North American native peoples, that all of them, before the advent of white people, Europeans, that all of them had actually a religious understanding and a virtue of their own conscious state, a virtue of their own spiritual identity, that all their ancestors were still with them in the spirit world, looking after them, guiding them, that they were dwelling with that guidance, that they were sharing in the great love and beautiful clarity that came about through their relationships.
Well, yes, it's more of a spiritual identity rather than a religious identity, isn't it, really?
Yes, and there were not these situations where they were plagued by negative beings. They were not in these situations where they did great wrong and great ills amongst themselves. Yes, I understand that sometimes disagreements broke out and that they would have arguments that could even eventually to the passing, to the slaying of one another. I am aware of that. I'm not bringing about here some emotional, romantic view of how native indigenous peoples lived before the advent of Europeans. But what I am saying is that you must look at this plainly. And in the plain light of day, their ancestors still live. They have not reincarnated. They are beautiful ancestors who still continue to create within their own lives. It's a myth to say that it is in any otherwise stated. Because in fact, yes, they had gods of the sun and the moon. They had spirits who they worshipped of the water and of the air and of the earth, Mother Spirit. They had all of these situations which they gravitated toward and beautified, helped to beautify in their own lives. Do you not see? They did not need to go along this pathway of extreme negativity to one another, of saying that you have not created enough in this present physical life, so you've got to go all over and do it again, just because some other person or some higher caste tells you that's what you have to do. That was the basis of the Brahmin caste system, and why it was hatched in the first place, because they wanted to remain aloof of the common people.
So was this idea, this view of the fact that there was there should be no religious bias or religion at all involved in it,
yes.
Was this part of the format of how you could become like a member, as it were, of the White Cloud group? Because this was a rule of the group.
Well, I wouldn't say that it was actually a rule that, oh, well, you have to do this ritual or that ritual in order to become a member of the White Cloud group. It was rather that people, beings who came to our side of life, who for their own conscious understanding and continuous creative well-being, that they came to their own conclusion that the force and that the presence that they had thought had controlled their physical lives was in fact non-existent in reality, and that they in fact could bathe at the feet of Jesus or Buddha. They could bow to Buddha and Buddha would bow back. They could bow to Jesus and he would wash your feet. They could bow to John the Baptist and John the Baptist would bow back to you. You could select any icon and treasure of religious value of any being who had once roamed the physical earth and understand that part of this memory and myth that you had was of your own language, your own comprehension of what energy is. Yet when you come face to face with that valued being, they allow you to see, they show you to see that you are just as a valued being as they are.
Okay, so these people, some of these people just came, gravitated towards the group and became involved in the group.
Yes.
Others, did you search out other people, other experts in specific fields that you felt that you needed to cover areas of to do with the work that was going to be happening?
I understand your question, friend. The point is, yes, in a part we did that, but that in a sense we said, we sent out messages. We went ourselves. I went to many people. In fact, I interacted with Nikola Tesla myself in order to bring about an issue that he would actually find resolution in for his own physical life. It wasn't that I wanted him specifically to work with our group, but I wanted him to realize that through his physical passing in poverty, that he was not a poverty of mind, that he could continue to create and learn and beautify the presence of both the spirit world and the physical reality by the work that he could continue to do as having influence upon others in the physical reality, and thereby continue his work for the spirit world and for the kingdom of love of God. This then became something that enabled me not appearing as some angel, but appearing as the purest energy form that I could bring about. And that he thought, actually, that I was an angel, as many people do. I know, it's just my personality. But the point is that actually what happened was that I brought to him a sense of real understanding, and I said that he can still continue to grow. I said, come see for yourself if you do not believe me. Why do you think I am speaking to you in your conscious state? Why do you think it is I am appealing to your beautiful spirit that had been so trodden and defeated in physical life? That I am wishing of you to understand that your conscious ability still moves forward, that you still have life, and that you have life before physical state. This is a part of your conscious living memory, as a part of God that you are, as a part of that being of creative force of all is.
So, but didn't you know him before he had a physical life?
Yes, absolutely, but it was to do with re-establishing that acquaintance. For many people who have had a physical life and then moved back to the spirit world, they're in a state of shock or locked within that physical life essence.
Even somebody with such a great mind as Mr. Tesla, because he was so, when he passed, he was so, like you say, downtrodden.
So terribly defeated.
Yes.
Absolutely. The point was that he had to understand something of the real truth and essence of himself, not something that was brought about by others' adulation upon him, but that was born within him, within his own memory. It is really just a matter of cementing the understanding to in a sense, kickstart that form of memory. And we did this, I managed to do this purely by helping him to remember parts of the journey that he made just before his physical state and the joining of that physical state.
I always find that interesting to actually try to imagine what you looked like as a being before you had a physical state, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, certainly.
That always fascinates me.
Yes.
And I'm sure it does the listeners too. So if you'd like to phone with the question to Gregory, the number is 877-876-5227 in the USA, and Canada is 888-815-9756.
You see, you must understand, my dear friends, that I am not here casting doubt or aspersions about certain situations of religious value. If you wish to adhere to those, then that be your case. That is your course célèbre. It is the way that you wish to run your pathway. However, the truth is much plainer, much more beautiful than the ways in which religious values very often will have you doing somersaults within your own lifetime experience, so that you in a sense try to equate your value with some karmic past life attribute.
Okay, so gradually people were coming on board the White Cloud yes. group, Nikolai Tesla for one there. What about anybody else? Have you got another story about how you met somebody else to become involved in the group?
Yes, well, actually, my dear friend, there is a person, well, a number of people, in fact, really to do with animals. John Fisher, for example, a stout lad, I understand, in his physical life, a person who had a very great and beautiful understanding and connection with beings of a fur variety, beings to do with the wildlife and also to do with how that wildlife engaged itself within a domestic form of dogs, for example. And he had been a being in the spirit world who had actually communicated.
Mm-hmm.
Had communicated greatly with dogs, in fact, and the whole soul group of dogs, which was why he was actually enamored with that subject,
yeah,
his physical life, because he was a behaviorist.
Yeah, canine behaviorist. He's, you can look on the internet onto, and he's got lots of books out, John Fisher, on
yes.
dogs.
Yes, absolutely so. And he is was a person at that time who had actually spent many thousands, almost hundreds of thousands of years, really, to do with the behavior of those kinds of animals. Actually, he had a great deal to do with wolves at the time. This was actually where it all came from. It was due to his study as a spirit being, many hundreds of thousands of years before he even had a physical life. And he was studying the pathway of wolves, and how they were actually a part of the connectivity to do with the earth. Because, as you may or may not realize, wolves actually assimilated as and came from a branch of the whale many millions of years ago, 150 million years or more ago, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, wolves actually formed a part of the same genetic tree. So it is to say then that what then happened to wolves, because they were beings who assimilated so well with the earth plane and with the vibration of the earth plane, that what actually happened in this state was that they were beings who in a sense had a great spiritual value. And what happened during this time was that their spiritual value became something of excess. In fact, many other beings observed wolves as they became born within the physical state and treated them, I understand some were in great fear of them because obviously they were carnivorous, but other forms of being actually began to understand they had a certain spiritual depth and insight because of their relationships with one another. And it's really to do with that relationship situation that John Fisher really grappled with and understood in the spirit world.
I think we've got a caller, have we?
Yeah, hello?
Oh, hi. Hello, who's this speaking?
Daryl.
Oh, hi.
Hi, I'm calling. This is the first time I listened to your show. Really, it's very curious. A lot of the information. It's very interesting. I just had. I don't know. This. What kind of questions I asked of your. I don't even know. I remember the name. The name of the guy who was talking.
Oh, Gregory. Yes.
Yeah.
Gregory. His questions really to do with the spirit world.
Yeah. Now, how far can he see into the spiritual world? Can you see, the generations?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
As far as, past lives, you were talking about that. The past lives?
Well, he was commenting on the reincarnation theory, and explaining the makeup of the spirit world as it actually is. So, I didn't know.
Yes,
you have
I did.
A specific question.
Yeah.
It's
well,
not
sometimes,
sort of a personal reading, but it's sort of general information that we like to talk about so that everybody can gain.
Yeah, I always wondered how that kind of energy affects a person's life, like today, the energy of the past generations.
Yes, how that affects. I understand, my dear friend. The point really to say here is that it's, you see, some generations in human instincts understand that they have, perhaps they look to certain philosophies of life in order to try to explain certain conditions that they are going through themselves to help them understand their own lives. The point is that then it becomes an issue of karma, that people then entreat karma as being something over that must be the vehicle by which I have all of these situations of poor value or something in my own physical life. Oh, well, I must have been a bad being in a previous life because I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. It's not that at all. It's an understanding that people have that they're driven to because it's perhaps something that reveals one particular answer to them, yet does not equate with the whole. What I'm saying here, dear friend, is that people of spiritual value usually try to ascend in a sense of their energy and to try to establish their place in the hierarchy of the world. But that's because you do that as a physical being, because that's the way your society and your world is structured. So you have to look at angels, you have to look upon their lives and say, oh, well, that's the pinnacle of life. But angels are really, in the main, to do with one specific religious dogma or theory, which actually doesn't have a place in the spirit world. Similarly, I'm saying that people then, in their own physical life, they have difficulty with one life issue. And what do? They struggle to try to identify with it, and somebody comes up to them and says, oh, no, it's something that you did in a previous life. Well, in that case, you have no control over it. You do not have a system in place of where you can actually take responsibility yourself. And instead of doing that, you are equating it with some previous life experience of which you have no control over. The point I'm making here is that the white cloud group are made up of beings who have understood this rationale and see it that it's coming from purely a religious standpoint and not from the rationale of reality as it exists in the spirit world. Many people, when they come to our side of life, they're taking with them their own consciousness that they've already learned in physical life. Indeed, if you look to Brahmin theory, in truth, it would paint that there is no existence before the physical life, and that there is no karma before the physical life, quite simply because as a spirit you don't exist
until physical life is begatted.
That
is an untruth and is a misrepresentation of the spirit world and the energy of God, of the energy of creation. That is something which is perpetual and continuous and eternal.
Okay, well,
with love and light.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we've come to time now, but do phone again.
Pardon?
We've got to round up the show now, but do phone again. Thank you for listening.
Yes,
to
okay, thank you. Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Gregory. Well, it's been fascinating, and what I think would be really good would be to hear of the stories of how you met certain people in the spirit, because this is fascinating for us as human beings, absolutely fascinating. The different people that you have met that have joined, come on board with the White Cloud Group, and how you met them and that sort of thing. I think it's just fascinating.
I would be delighted.
Terrific.
God bless until next time.
God bless. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work. Maybe book yourself an Akashic reading, and as well as bbsradio.com on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goals, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye!